Well, a tug a tug a doo doo at the
Welcome back to Building the Bakken. I'm your host, Jason Spies. In our next segment, we talk Bakken pipelines. For this feature, we talk with Paul Fisher of Enbridge, North Dakota Governor Jack Dalrymple, and North Dakota Public Service Commissioner Julie Fedorchak. These interviews are brought to you by MBI Energy Services, cutting edge and oil field safety solutions. MBI Energy Services, visit their website today at www.mbienergyservices.com. Of course, their information is linked up at our Building the Bakken website by clicking on the sponsors page. MBI Energy Services, cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. And now, back to our feature on Bakken pipelines. This is Paul Fisher with Enbridge.
We need to get oil to the coast. What do you see for your long-term plans as far as meeting that need, getting that to those markets?
Okay, my name is Paul Fisher. I'm with Enbridge Pipelines. I talked today about the infrastructure that we're putting in place to get barrels down to the U.S. Gulf Coast. We've also built a rail facility on the East Coast, Eddystone, in the Philadelphia market. Very difficult to build new pipeline infrastructure over to the East Coast. Very difficult to build pipeline structure over to the West Coast. So I think you'll continue to see rail barrels go to the East and West Coast, but with the incremental pipeline infrastructure down to the Gulf Coast, I think you'll see less barrels being railed down to the Gulf Coast. I also, in my presentation, talked about reversing our Line 9 in Eastern Canada, and that will facilitate the Bakken barrel accessing the Montreal market as well, where there's two major refineries.
And that was Paul Fisher of Enbridge. Next, North Dakota Governor Jack Dalrymple.
Governor, you said 2 years ago at this summit, your message was get pipe in the ground, get it in the ground now. What would you say is the overall message for today?
Well, it's twofold. One is thank you very much for the incredible progress that's been made over the last 4 years, especially the last 2 years. We have essentially more than doubled our pipeline capacity in a short period of time. And now, as we look ahead, especially after today, we see the opportunity to increase it, another 50% over where we are today, and possibly more. On paper, we begin to see a capacity to market and transport petroleum equal to our production. Now, that doesn't mean that, rail will not continue to be a part of it because of the logistics of, where these sources and where these entry points are available. But it does say that it will become a competitive environment, and those that have the best opportunity to transport will prevail. And that's what we want.
That was North Dakota Governor Jack Dalrymple. Next, Julie Fedorchak, North Dakota Public Service Commissioner.
Loading sites.
I didn't catch that last part, Mary Kate.
Sure. Talking specifically about the development, co-development, I guess, of companies also developing rail facilities on top of pipelines. That's something that you think, as a PUC commissioner, will continue to see?
Well, I would say it's interesting that you ask about rail when really we're all about pipelines here today and trying to actually develop more pipeline infrastructure to reduce the pressure on the rail. A lot of the railroads are investing significantly in the capacity in North Dakota. I know Burlington Northern has like $500 million they're investing nationwide, and a lot of that is in North Dakota. I'll have to get back to you on the exact figure. But so that is happening and will continue to. I think you've heard from the producers today some of the reasons why rail is a good option and why rail is going to be here to stay. I think what today was all about is what can we do to increase the pipeline infrastructure? How can we make the permitting process the best it can be? How can we maintain the safety and the integrity of these lines and really increase that investment in North Dakota? Because we know that is the safest. It's safer than road, it's safer than rail, and it's also the most tolerable long-term for the public. So I think today's focus is really on the pipeline side of things.
You spoke earlier about clearing up the gray area between gathering and transmission lines, and why is that important to really provide between the two?
I'm glad you asked about that, because I also want to specify a little bit more. There's two sides on the gathering transmission. One is gas and one is hazardous materials or crude. And I think the gas side is pretty well defined, and there isn't a lot of gray area on that side of the definition. On the crude side, there's, I think, been some changes over time in how gathering systems were constructed and how they're operating. And I'm just not sure that our current definitions reflect what's happening in the field today in terms of the size of the gathering systems and how they're operating. So what I want to do is look at it from a big picture and from the public safety standpoint, keep the public safety in mind, and are the appropriate triggers that change a line from gathering to transmission reflected in our law, and if not, how, what do we need to do to improve those?
Back to you, Governor.
Governor, you touched on it a couple times today, the technology working group. I've sat in on a couple of those meetings, and there is a lot of variables. There's a lot of, well, this could work, but then there's this. What is your hope that they come to you with this? What is going to be the solutions you're looking for?
What I would hope is that the group will come with some technical recommendations for our state to consider. And this sort of ties in with our whole discussion about the state's role in overseeing pipeline safety. And that very much involves the Public Service Commission, which turn out to play a role in that as well. Is there something incremental that we should be doing above and beyond what the federal government is doing on pipelines? I think there's an opportunity to take advantage of technology and improve the monitoring and safety of pipelines. You can look at requirements on flow meters, requirements on pressure monitors. You can also consider using a sensor technology that can be flown over the pipelines with an airplane and can actually sense liquid escaping from a pipeline. And that's the type of thing that would be efficient for a state to do, would make sense for us to do, and I think we really need to look into it. The devil, of course, is in the details and how far do you go and what specifically are you going to require? But I think that group is in a position to figure that out. We have the help of PHMSA itself talking to us about the technical aspects. We also have some people involved who are literally in the business of monitoring pipelines. So I'm optimistic that we can come up with something worthwhile. I like the way you rubbed your fingers there, No need to even say it.
We have a million barrels now. We can do this all
I want. Yeah, exactly. Yes, I mean, it wouldn't, funding wouldn't really be the issue. The issue would be, is there something to be gained from actually having state employees do something? And there is a point where you could look at all these, thousands and thousands of miles of pipeline and say, you could also waste money if you don't do it wisely, if you're not doing something that's very well focused. So could there turn out to be a couple of people working for Julie someday? Yeah, I think that's a distinct possibility. Because as a state, I think we have reached the point now, as the number two oil producer in the United States, we need to not only be sure we're doing this, but we want to be leaders in this area.
Governor, can I be so bold as to interject something on the theme?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. It struck me as the question was asked earlier, what's the big message for today? And I think the big message that I walk away from is both the producers and some of the consultants saying, let's be leaders in the nation in how we do this. Let's do this in a way that is environmentally sound, safe, and publicly supported. And I think that's the message that everyone walks away with from this summit today, is we can do this. In many ways, we already are. People are watching North Dakota. I hear this when I go to conferences on the utility side of things, and I'm encouraged by utility executives who say, you need to get a lead, take a leadership role, because North Dakota is doing this right. And so I think we go about our business every day. We, you know, are North Dakotans. We don't think a lot about what we're doing on a national scale or how, what kind of a model we are. But that's the fact, that we are leading the way, and other states can learn from us. So I'm excited to be part of doing this in a way that is environmentally sound, safe for the public, and supported by the people who are living and working with this every day.
And that was Julie Fedorchek, North Dakota Public Service Commissioner. To listen to the full-length interviews of Paul Fisher of Enbridge, North Dakota Governor Jack Dalrymple, or Julie Fedorchek, or to listen to other Bakken Pipeline features, visit our website at buildingthebakken.com. We'd like to remind you that these interviews were brought to you by MBI Energy Services, cutting edge in oilfield safety solutions. MBI Energy Services. Visit their website at www.mbienergyservices.com.
Keep up to date on Bakken news and information. buildingthebakken.com.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBI Energy Services. MBIEnergyServices.com.